Good morning, everybody. Well, just a few announcements. Unfortunately, we weren't able to have our bonfire last night. It was a little wet, so we postponed it 1 week. So this coming Saturday, if you were planning on coming out Saturday night, hopefully you'll come out this coming Saturday night for our bonfire. Pastor Trent and his wife Kristen's home, and the address is on our website or last week's bulletin. So just hopefully you can come on out. It's always a great time just to celebrate this time of year and just be around the body of Christ. Several other things happening. Our men's breakfast is Saturday, November 2nd, so this coming Saturday at 8 a.m. So guys, make your way out there Saturday morning to spend some time in the Word together and fellowshipping together. It's an opportunity for us guys just to get in each of others' faces and just hold each other accountable for the things that God's called us to do and to be as men. So I encourage you guys to be there. Also, after church next Sunday at 2 o'clock, from 2 to 5, we're doing our Top Golf fundraiser. This is the board of Lakai Tamun has put this together as a fundraiser to support the kids in the school there in Haiti. So if you want to make your way there, I think there's about 30 spots taken out of the 60. So there's plenty of space if you still want to get get on a team or put together a team. Six people per bay is what it is, so, and it's $75 per person, and you can sign up at the website calvarybrentwood.org/topgolf. And then finally, so two Sundays from this Sunday, we're doing a fellowship lunch. So we've done these in the past, and it's always a good time to kind of get to know some other people in the church. So we convert all these tables or chairs into tables, and we spend time together in a meal. We're asking everybody to bring a little something, so if you could sign up and let us know, that would be great. That'll be, November 10th, so two Sundays from today after service. So always a good time. That's it in the way of announcements. If you would open your Bibles to Acts chapter 9 as we continue to go through the book of Acts. We are in chapter 9, so open your Bibles there. If you have need of a Bible, simply raise your hand, and we'll hand one to you. There we go. Acts chapter 9. My prayer is that you'd be as blessed by this message as I was preparing it. Hello, good morning. So good to see you. Acts chapter 9, we're going to pick up in verse 32. But before we do, let's pray. Father God, how good you are. And just like we sang, you are so, so good. And that isn't something that we just say. It's really something that we mean. We've experienced your goodness in our lives. We've experienced your forgiveness and your love towards us. And we pray this morning as we gather together in your name that you would be here in our midst, that we know you are here, but that we would truly sense your presence, that the power of the Holy Spirit would fall upon each and every one of us. God, that you would use us in these days, that you would use our lives, that you would help us with our struggles, our difficulties, our concerns, our heartbreak, in this world. But also, Lord, just encourage us that there are brighter days ahead. We look forward to that day that you call us home. But until that time, I pray that we would all just be busy living for you and being those Christians that live their faith out loud. So I pray for each and every one. Lord, you know exactly what they're going through. You know what they're dealing with. Again, their ups, their downs, their struggles, their victories. And I just pray, God, that you would continue to work in us and work through us, that we would be those examples in this world of what it means to be a Christian, a true Christian in the faith, that others would long to have a relationship with you just because of our real walk with you. And so we ask you to bless this time as we study your word, and may you be glorified in it, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to talk this morning about letting God use you. That's the title of the message. And, you know, when we think about that, I always remind myself, God doesn't need me. You know, he's not like he needs our lives, but he wants to use us. He desires to use you. He desires to take your life and make it impact the life of another. And, you know, it's one of those things that we're constantly asking God, you know, Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to serve you? How do you want me to, you know, honor you in this life that I live? And it, I'm sure it's the same for all of us. We have busy, hectic, crazy lives. And we sometimes try to fit God in there somewhere. We try to find those opportunities for God to use us. And that's why I just love this area of scripture that we're looking at, as Peter is being faithful to God and is being used by God. He's letting God use him. And I think that's really half the battle, is just surrendering ourselves to God and saying, God, I'm willing to be used. Now use me. It can be scary as well. Because, well, if he's going to use me, I have to be ready. I have to be equipped. And I find that God equips in the moment that you're being used. I believe he speaks to our hearts and he equips us in that way. And we see those examples in the Bible, and there are many, but I want to just remind us, if you're here this morning, and when I say something like, let God use you, you think, I'm not qualified for that. I don't know the Bible well enough, or I'm not faithful enough, or I can't see God using me. He might use somebody else. The Bible that you hold in your hand is filled with men, women, and even children that God used. And many times they said the same thing to God. How can you use me? You know, one of my very favorite areas of scripture is in Judges chapter 6 and 7, where Gideon gets called to defeat the Midianites. Now, Gideon, if you know the story, he was in the least of all the 12 tribes, and he was in the least of in his family. And he was in this place of desperation towards God. And God shows up and says, oh, mighty man of valor. I always laugh at that. Because in Gideon's mind, he's nothing. He's a speck in God's kingdom. And here God says, oh, you mighty man of valor. And I love the fact that the way we look at ourselves often is completely the opposite of the way God sees us. See, God sees you with a lot of potential. And when God called Gideon, he said, oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. He gave God excuses. Anybody ever do that? When God calls you, oh, Lord, you can't use me. I'm way too busy. Or, God, you can't use me. I can't. I don't have the time. Gideon was like that. Moses was the same thing. Moses said this to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? And that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. Even Moses. God, I can't do it. And here's the great part of this. God looks at all of us. He looked at Gideon. He looked at Moses. He says, I know you can't do it. He says, but I can do it through you. And that's the reality, my friends. When I talk about letting God use you, I'm saying let God use you. Let God work through you. You're never going to get on the other side of it and go, man, look what I did for God. You're going to be on their side, look what God did through me. And that's the right attitude. It's saying, God, I'm just willing to be used. And, you know, for Christians, I believe there are opportunities that come across our path that God puts there before us. The question is, do we notice them, number one? And number two, do we embrace them? The opportunities. This past week, you may have had a God divine appointment that maybe you missed, completely missed it. And sometimes it happens afterwards. It's happened to all our lives. It's like, man, God gave me an opportunity to witness to someone or to pray for someone or to encourage someone, and I totally missed it. And that's so discouraging. But at the same time, you learn a lesson, don't you? You learn that lesson to be a little bit more sensitive when God has given you an opportunity. And I'll be darned, the next time, I'm gonna take advantage of that opportunity. And we learn those things. And then we learn those things. And that's what we're gonna see in Acts chapter 9. Peter is gonna be in God's hands. And Peter's gonna be ready to be used by God. So look with me, if you will. We're gonna look at three things in this area of scripture. We're gonna pick up in verse 23. We're kind of pausing from the life of Saul and picking up here in verse 23 to speak about Peter. It says, now after many days were passed, 32. I was like, that didn't look right. Verse 32. Now it came to pass, as Peter went through all parts of the country, that he also came down to the saints who dwelt in Lydda. There he found a certain man named Annas, who has been bedridden 8 years and was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, Annas, Jesus the Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed. Then he arose immediately. So all who dwelt in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. Give me your attention. We're going to finish this chapter, but this one little section is so powerful because here's Peter kind of just going through life. Again, he's been called by God to minister the gospel. Okay, and he's just going through and he's looking for those opportunities. And when it comes to being used by God and letting God use you, the first thing you have to do is you need to realize that you are to watch for any opportunity that may come. You notice it here. It's in verse 33. There he found a certain man named Aeneas. Peter found him. Peter was just going through ministering to different towns the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was being used by God, and then he shows up in this town, and I love the way the Bible describes it. A certain man named Aeneas. A certain man. No significance. No, you know, not famous, not anybody important, just a certain man named Aeneas. And it reminds me of the need in the world that we have today, of the people that are around us. Are we being watchful to the people that God puts into our lives to say, how can I assist? Because I don't think Aeneas was sitting there in his bed saying, I need help. We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us that he was necessarily praying. We don't even know if he was asking for any help. But the man was in this condition for how long? 8 years. I think about it. Sometimes we do 8 hours of work and we think that's a long time. This man was 8 years in this condition. No doubt he was seeking the Lord. No doubt he was wanting to get out of that condition, but maybe he's at that place where he says, you know what? This is just my lot for life. This is where I'm going to stay. And I love the fact that Peter is being sensitive to the Spirit and looking for an opportunity. Guys, do you look for opportunities around you to be used by God? Oh, we would all love the clouds to open up. We would all love to hear the voice of God say, here, I want you to do specifically this. And those things do happen. But are you looking for opportunities in your children, in your families, around your friends, coworkers, people in school, strangers, opportunities that God might use you? Because I believe Peter was being led by the Holy Spirit to meet this need. Clearly, everybody knew this man. Peter had to understand the condition of this man's life. He had to take the time to, what is with this guy laying on this bed? Someone must have said, well, he's been like that for 8 years. And Peter's heart probably was moved. And God used him. Guys, it's being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And I wrote this down. Peter was on the move. God is going to use Peter because he's moving. We have to make sure that we as Christians are moving in our circle of influence so that God can use us. You have to be moving for opportunities to come across. So don't get so tunnel visioned into doing just your life. Be open to opportunities that God will bring into your life. Because Peter had to be in a place where he was willing to not do what he wanted to do and do what God wanted him to do. So I find sometimes in my life, I have my itinerary. My calendar tells me at this time I have to be here, at this time I have to be there, and I find sometimes I'm more in control of my itinerary than God is. And do we allow God to intervene? Do we allow God to come in there? See, only you and God know what's on your schedule for today. Only you know what your plan is for this afternoon. My question is, are you saying, God, use me in some way? God, give me an opportunity. I'm looking, God. I'm being attentive to it. Because I think sometimes we get so focused on self, but Peter was not. Peter was open to what God was doing. See, had Peter, the apostle, stayed in Jerusalem with the others, because that's their hometown, he would have missed this opportunity. He would have missed this opportunity to minister to this man and to do a miracle. And like I said, it's just a certain man. It's nobody of significance. Be careful that we don't look around and just try to help the important people. Don't try to help the ones that, will bring attention. That person that is all by themselves, that's all alone, that may be the one that God wants you to speak to. I'll never forget it. It was many, many years ago. We were on a family vacation. And my brother and I, we were young. I don't know how old we were, maybe 10 to 12 years old. And we were staying on a lake near our home. It was our family vacation. We had a week off, so we would stay away at a lake. And I remember my brother and I were playing with the neighborhood kids there. We were playing in their backyard. And I remember seeing my mother sitting out on the dock all by herself. And I can see it right now in my mind. And I thought, I felt bad for my mom that she was all alone. Now that I know my mom, I know she was probably like, I'm glad to just sit here on the lake and be by myself. But as a kid, I was like, my mom's all alone. We're here playing and having fun. My mom's all alone. But God revealed, it's like he shows you things, right? I mean, again, I can see it like a picture. This pristine lake picture of my mother sitting on a dock with her feet in the water and probably enjoying life for a second. But I was thinking, oh, she's all alone. And the reason I share that story is because there's people in this world that are alone. There's people in this world that don't have anybody. And we got to be watchful for those opportunities. You got to be watchful to see what God wouldn't do and make these connections. Friday night, we were at a little gathering together, and there was probably, 100 people at this party. And I remember walking in, and I remember looking across the room, and I saw this man. I go, this guy looks so familiar to me. I know him. You ever been somewhere, and you go, I know this guy. And I walked up to him later on, after about 30 minutes being at the party. I walked up, I said, this is crazy. I said, but man, you look familiar. Do I know you? And he's like, and he started to say, well, do you do this? I go, no. He goes, well, I live in, is it Clarksville or Cookville? I'm like, well, I've never been there, so I don't know you there. Didn't know him. Had that face. But the conversation that ensued after we made that connection was definitely by God. To be able to hear his story and to hear what's going on in his life and to see the things that were going on, I felt like it was a divine appointment. See, I could have just said, oh, that guy looks familiar and never had that interaction. Sometimes we don't take the time to see what God wouldn't do. I believe Peter walked into this group and said, God's leading me to speak to this man and to do something miraculous in his life. That's what's so beautiful about it. This was just an ordinary man. And Peter had to believe that God would use him. That's the first thing. So every single one of us in this room need to believe that God will use you. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God could use your life? And if anyone in this room starts with the excuses, well, I don't, I can't, I won't, I don't think I should. Listen to what Jesus said in John 14:12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Now, if you've read your Bible and you've read the gospel, Jesus did some amazing things, didn't he? And here Jesus is saying, you're going to do the very same thing. In fact, you're going to even do more. And do you know the most important thing that you can do is help someone come to know the Lord? The greatest thing you can do is help lead someone to a more intimate relationship with God or begin a relationship with God. Don't ever disqualify that. There are people in our lives that need to have a relationship with God, that either need to be saved or need to know the truth of what it means to have a relationship with God. That's been something that's been happening to me over the last couple of weeks. I think I even shared it last week. There's people that believe in God, but they don't believe in their salvation is secure in Christ. They believe they have to do certain things in order to get to heaven. They don't have the assurance that because of what Jesus did, I'm going to heaven. And I think about how hard that must be to live a life where you don't know if you're going to go to heaven. Okay, you understand the Bible, you understand what it says, but you're not assured of salvation? And I love talking to people like that because it is so encouraging to me to say, you are going to heaven because you believe in Jesus Christ, period. Now, do good things, but don't expect that to get you to heaven. And that's what we live in. That's the society we live in. In Middle Tennessee, we're in the Bible Belt. Everybody knows the Bible. Everybody knows God, but they know the truth. And so you have to believe that God will use you. You have to believe that your security is in to go to heaven is because of what Jesus did. And then you need to share that. It's looking for those opportunities. I love that. I was talking to someone the other day, and they had a really tough question. And I was able to help them discover what the Word of God says based on their question. And they're like, wow, do I feel so much better? Wow, what a great opportunity that is. To be able to encourage someone and show them from the Bible, this is why we believe what we believe. It's not just my idea. You got to know what the Word says. Peter knew, he believed. And notice what he says in verse 34. And Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you. Oh, I love this. Peter knew the power to heal was in Jesus. Not in him, not in his faith, not in his apostleship. He knew that that healing power was because of what Jesus did. And guys, I'm telling you, there is such power in this truth. When you speak to someone, if you encourage them, you got to tell them, Jesus is the one that's encouraged you. Jesus is the one that's the source of your strength, not us. Yes, we can be used by God, but the source is Jesus himself. Paul said it in Acts chapter 4. It says, let it be known to you and all to the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, I think this was Peter actually, by him this man stands before you whole. Yeah, it was Peter and John that went into the temple because of what Jesus did. So you might be looking for opportunities, or you should be looking for opportunities, but make sure you know that it's Jesus that's going to empower you. I believe there was a peace that surpasses understanding in Peter's heart when he entered into this town, when he saw this man in the condition that he was, and he knew the answer for this man's life. Whew. Here's what's also interesting to me. We never hear about this man ever again. Never hear about him again. This is all we know about him. That he was a man paralyzed for 8 years, and he was healed by God. Do you know why? Because it's more important to know who the healer is than the one that got healed. We need to know that Jesus has the power to heal, and he may heal you, or he may heal someone in your life by your faith being conveyed. That's the important thing. Notice in verse 35 the result of this. I mean, I don't think the Bible is so amazing. Look at verse 35. So all who dwelt in Lydda and Sharon saw him, this man, and turned to the Lord. Everyone in the time. So the result of Peter's faithfulness, the result of Peter's faith being exercised on this man's life, many came to know the Lord or listen, or simply just turned to the Lord. This should minister to every single one of us in this room. Because when difficulties come this coming week, the best thing you can do is turn to God, is turn to the Lord. And I'm not saying for salvation. I'm saying, God, I'm going to turn to you because I'm struggling right now. I'm going to turn to you because I have a need in my life. I'm going to turn to you because I'm feeling weak right now. When you feel weak, what does the Bible tell us? He's strong. He gives us the wisdom. So it's our responsibility as believers to turn to the Lord and to help others turn to the Lord. Never do we want anybody following us unless they're following us to get to Jesus. Does that make sense? Don't let anybody hold on to you. Let them hold on to Jesus, because Jesus will be there with them the next day, and Jesus will be there with them the next month. Jesus will always be there. So it's our job to help people turn to the Lord. And I love this miracle that God did through Peter, and it made many turn to the Lord. I also want to remind us that Peter was fulfilling God's commission upon his life. If you remember, when Jesus was risen from the dead, he came to Peter and said to Peter, Peter, do you love me? You remember this? And Peter says, of course, Lord, you know all things. Of course I love you. And what did Jesus say? He said, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, and to feed my sheep. And here Peter is doing that very thing. He's fulfilling the call upon his life. It's a reminder for all of us that we need to fulfill our call upon our lives. What is God calling you to do? What has God called you to do in the body of Christ as a believer? And are you fulfilling that call? And never minimize the call God has on your life. And I don't know why, but I feel like I speak that to mothers who tirelessly serve their family, maybe unappreciated, but it's a good thing to do. That may be the call upon your life. Do it with the best of your ability because God is well pleased with that. And sometimes the smallest things in the kingdom of God mean everything to the Lord. So never minimize that. But make sure you're fulfilling your call and making an impact in this world. I wrote down in my notes, how has God called you to impact this world? And I always think of musicians. And it just, the gift of music and the gift of worship and the gift of creativity like that. And use that gift for the glory of God. Use whatever gift God has given you for the glory of God. Is there someone in your life that God has placed there for you to pour into, for you to encourage, for you to do life with? It may be a spouse, it may be a friend, it may be a coworker. But who has God brought into your life that you're supposed to be investing in? It's called discipleship, right? Someone that you're just doing life with. Maybe you're reading scripture together. Maybe you're praying together. Maybe you're just getting together and just doing life together. Who is it in your life that God has called you to pour into and to do life with? That's what we need to be sensitive. That's watching for those opportunities that God gives to us. But not only that, look what God does with Peter next. Look with me in verse 36. At Joppa, there was, a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in the upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa, and the disciples heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Now pause right there, because to me this is so significant. Not only as believers letting God use us, are we watching for opportunities, but we must be known as people that are willing to meet opportunities. Peter was in a different town, they heard he was there, and they said, we got to send for Peter. Because they knew the countenance and character of Peter. To me, this is huge. That do people know your character as being one that'll make a difference in a situation? Now, I'm going to propose to all of us that they didn't call Peter to come there for Tabitha to raise her from the dead. We know that that's what's going to happen. But do you know that Tabitha is the first person raised from the dead by someone in the New Testament that was other than Jesus? The very first. So I don't believe that the disciples or the believers that were there in Joppa thought that Peter would come and that would raise her from the dead. I think they said, you know what? We're going through a very difficult time. We have lost a dear sister in Christ and we need someone to minister to us. Peter, would you come and just minister to us? Because they knew Peter was a man of God. Guys, this is huge that people should know you by your fruits. People should know you by your faith in God. This is, to me, a huge testament to who Peter was. You remember Peter before Jesus was risen from the dead? The man that just kept saying dumb things, that kept doing dumb things. Now he's known as a man of God to come and help the believers there. I thought about this. Because it's up to God to move in your life. Isn't that true? And the reality is, if God moves you from this place to another place, if God moves you, there's been people in this church, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, that were just a blessing to this fellowship, that God moved to another place. And those are hard. But we belong to God. And so the reality is, here's this church with a dear sister in Christ that did a lot of good things for the Lord, and now she's lost her life. It had to leave a huge hole in this fellowship, because that's what it is all about. We're intricately living in each other's lives. And you have value, we have value in each other's lives. And so they were hurting. This church was hurting because a dear sister had been lost, and they wanted Peter to come. And I love the fact that perhaps they heard about this story of Peter, you know, helping this lame man walk. And they, Peter, come here and minister to us. Do people know that you'll be a person to give them the truth? Do you know? People need to know the truth. We live in a world today where truth is very gray. Don't you agree? We need people that are going to speak the truth in love, to share scripture in love. My wife just yesterday shared a story about someone in her life that she shared scripture with, and this person said to her, "You're the first person in my life to ever share scripture with me to encourage me and not to just, you know, get at me." I'm like, wow. Let us not be a church. Let us not be a people that are known that we use the Bible to hurt people, but we use the Bible to encourage people. We use the Word of God to say, this is what God says about you. This is what God says about how we're to live our lives, and to encourage people with that. Listen, if you walk up here and give me a Bible verse just to make me feel bad, I'm not going to like you that much. Right? I mean, I guess I could stand up here for 35 minutes and give you a bunch of verses that convict the tardy and say, okay, go home now. But what we need is we need people to encourage each other. And we need people that are going to come behind and encourage. I believe Peter was a man known for that. Are you a man? Are you a woman that's known to represent God rightly? Is your life such, your character such, of great integrity and great strength in your faith in God? Notice it says here in verse 36, at the end, it says, this woman was full of good works and charitable deeds. But these last three words, which she did. It's important for us to realize that there's a lot of good things we can be doing or thinking we should do, but it's really another thing if we don't do it. We must do the things that God has called us to do. You know, faith without works is dead, James says. So yeah, man, I'd like to help a lot of people in the church. I'd like to help a lot of people in my life. But you just never do it. Well, it's great that you want to. Now do it. Put your money where your mouth is, type of thing. She was a woman that did what she was one that did it. It's one thing to be full of good works and quite another to actually do them. See, I believe there's a lot of people in this room that want to do a lot of good things, but they lack execution. They lack the willingness to do it. And I think it's important that we actually see someone that actually did it. This woman impacted people's lives. Impacted those people's lives in a powerful way. And then she, in verse 37, it says she became sick and died. Now, two things when we look at this. Number one, Christians die, right? And number two, the reality is it's a reminder to all of us that this life is so temporary. There's no guarantees that you have the next second in your life. So the reality is we have to make sure we're living the life that God has given us to the fullest, because it can be taken from us in a second. And nowhere in the Bible does it say when believers died, they were raised, they were resurrected the next day. There are these miracles that we see in the Bible, but nowhere does it say that we're going to be, resuscitated for a believer until Christ comes back, right? Then we're resurrected. But the reality is, there's no guarantees in this life. Jesus said this. Had some water. Jesus said this. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Excuse me. This is the story of Lazarus. And when Jesus gets word that Lazarus is sick from the sisters, he says, let's just hang out a couple more days until Lazarus dies. And I just love the fact that Jesus so confidently says, this sickness is not unto death, but it's for the glory of God. And I believe it's the same thing for this story of Tabitha or Dorcas, whatever you want to call her. It was for the glory of God. But listen, tough things, bad things happen to Christians. Anybody ever have anything bad happen to them? Raise your hand. Anybody not? Well, I want to see your hand. Bad things happen to us, right? Does that mean God's any less good? Does that mean God's any less gracious? No. Bad things happen to us. I like to believe it's for the glory of God. Whatever is happening in your life, whatever difficulties, maybe it's for the glory of God, to see if your faith will get you through. That's the reality. If you're someone who is known to have integrity and character and belief in God, when difficult things happen in your life, that's an opportunity for you to bring glory to God. That's for your opportunity to live in such a way that people go, wow, they are really trusting in God. And those are times when you got to have other people around you to help you get through that, to remind you to put your faith in God, to remind you to rely on him. Job said it this way, the Lord gave, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Right? God gives, he takes, but blessed be his name. Live your life to its fullest because nothing is guaranteed. I think that's important to remember this. And as we see this woman's life, we see that's a great reminder for us. Verse 33, it says, and since Lydda was near Joppa and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, so they heard, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay to come to them. Again, I don't think they were calling him to come to heal this woman, to raise her from the dead. I think they just wanted him to be there because they knew he was a man of God. So they knew his character, therefore they called for him. I think they were hoping that he would just come and minister to the church. Are there people in your life that just being around them encourages you? Just spending time with them makes you think more about God? That's who Peter was. That's who we should be. We should be people that when we're around others, we bring the presence of God to them and encourage them in that. But to me, the last thing we see here, look at verse 39. It says, then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. So the widows that were there that received the good works of Dorcas are standing in the clothing that she made for them. And if you know anything about widows of those days, if they're truly widows, we studied this on a Wednesday night, if they're truly widows, they had to rely on the church. They had to rely on other people to care for them. So they're standing there going, the things that we're wearing, this woman made for us. She provided for us. So they loved her so very much. And they were witnesses to the good works that this woman gave. We go on. But Peter put them out, knelt down and prayed, and turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa. And many believed in the Lord. Isn't it interesting? When he healed Aeneas, the whole city turned to the Lord. And when he raised her from the dead, many. It's interesting to me. Don't know what it means? Many believed in the Lord because of what he had done. And then verse 43 says, so it was that he stayed many days in Joppa with Simon, a tanner. And we'll look at that in a moment. The third thing, not only are we to be willing to look for and watch for opportunities, not only are we to be known for, but we also must be ready to respond to opportunities. Again, we see in verse 39, then Peter arose and went with them. As soon as he heard about the need, he went. He didn't say, listen, I'm ministering to the people here in this town. I'm sharing the word of God. I'm sharing the gospel with this town. And I don't have time for that. No, he was willing to be moved. He was willing to be moved by the Spirit of God to go where the need was. Guys, we need to be ready at all times. We always need to be ready for, what's the Bible say? To give an answer for the hope that we have. Peter's life was in the hands of God. And when he heard about this need, in Joppa, he immediately went. He didn't hesitate. He immediately went there. Now, he comes there in verse 39. When he came, they
brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood there with him weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them out, and notice right here, and knelt down and prayed. Can I just say, I would love to know what this prayer was. Okay, could everybody leave for a moment? I'm going to kneel down here and pray and go, God, what do you want me to do? Really? I mean, did they bring him there to say, hey, could you go up there and raise her from the dead? The guy you followed, he seemed to do that a lot. Could you go do that for us? No, I believe Peter knelt down and said, Lord, how do you want to use me? And guys, this is a prayer that we must all pray. I love the fact that the Bible tells us that he knelt down there in front of this opportunity and said, God, what do you want to do? Because Jesus didn't say go throughout all the world and raise people from the dead, did he? He didn't say go through all the world and you know, heal the sick. Although those things happened in their life, I think there was a moment-by-moment dependency upon God. And if you're letting God use you, you got to be letting God speak to you. You got to be letting God speak clearly to you. Because I believe sometimes we go into a situation thinking what we think should be done, and God's thinking something else. I believe full-heartedly that if God told Peter, I just want you to minister to the people because of their friend that they lost, that he would have got up and said, okay, guys, let's have a Bible study. He was being Spirit-led. And in order for God to use you, you have to be Spirit-led. You have to be sensitive to what God wants you to do, what he wants you to say. And let me add, sometimes he tells you not to say anything. We have to know what God wants to do. Because I'm thinking, once God said, I want you to tell her to arise, I would think Peter would be like, you what? You want me to do, huh? Have you ever sensed God to tell you to do something that if it didn't happen, you'd look dumb? I mean, think of the faith that Peter had to have to believe that if he just said, Tabitha, arise, that she would literally sit up. The Bible doesn't tell us how long he was there. But guys, just an opportunity to be used by God, to be, he left what he was doing, he went there, and he saw another opportunity. And he embraced it. The reality is, I believe when Peter was doing this, he was hearing in his head exactly what Jesus said to someone else. I think I have it here. Look at this for a minute. He took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha kumi, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. Do you notice that word, Talitha kumi? Sounds very similar to what Peter said, Tabitha kumi, Tabitha arise. And I can't help but think, as Peter was there and said, Tabitha arise, that he heard his Lord speaking to this situation, telling this child to arise. The reality is, if we're going to be used by God, we need to be doing exactly what Jesus has done. See, there are people that believe the gifts of the Holy Spirit do not exist anymore, and they ended at the end of the Gospels, or at the end of Acts, excuse me. But I don't believe that. I believe God still is raising people from the dead. Do you know anybody God's raising from the dead? Yeah. Exactly. I do too. God still does this. God still does the miraculous. Under the guidance of prayer, under the guidance of our relationship to God, under the prompting and leading of the Holy Spirit, we have to have the faith to believe that God can still do the miraculous. I will say this. We don't need it. We don't need it because we have the entire Bible. We should have enough faith to believe in a God that does the miraculous, even though he doesn't do it. Because the reality is, Peter raised this girl from the dead, but there's no doubt that he ministered to them the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's no doubt that a miracle set the stage for many to turn to God. But when people turn to God, what do they need? They need the word of God. They need the truth of God. Because miracles is not going to be what sustains us, is it? Because if miracles is what gets your faith increased, you will continually need miracles for your faith to be strong. Because when you see a miracle, your faith grows. If you don't see any more miracles, then your faith wanes. Unless you're trusting in what the Bible says about your Savior. And that's the truth. Miracles are great, and they're important, and we should believe in them. But they should not be necessary for us to have a strong relationship with God. Because we can just read about them. We can just be reminded of them. And then be reminded that God is still at work today. I believe every single one of us in this room is a miracle. If you believe in Jesus as your Savior, you are a walking miracle. Because you too have been risen from the dead. You too will live forever. And so, do we need miracles? No. But we also need to believe that God can use us in that way. Tabitha, arise. I believe that many of us in this room, or many people that we know in this room, have something inside them that has died, that needs to be resuscitated, that needs to come back to life. Maybe there's a hope and a dream that you used to have years ago that God is still working out the details of it, and an opportunity for us to come alongside you and encourage you to believe, encourage you to hold on to that truth and on that promise that God has given to you. Let's make sure that we are all people of prayer, believing in God. And I want to close with this. It also says many believe. The last verse is so important. Verse 43 says, so it was that he stayed many days in Joppa with Simon, a tanner. If you were a Jew in these days, and you heard that Peter stayed with a tanner, it would trouble your spirit. Because a tanner is one that dealt with the skins of a dead animal. And tanners had to live outside, 75 feet outside of a village, because they were considered ceremonially unclean. So for Peter to be staying with a tanner was showing us that Peter's faith was now stretching from just being obedient to the law and now living under the grace that God has given to him. It's so significant, but it's so easy to overlook. In fact, it even says, when he prayed for Tabitha, it says, and then after she sat up, he took her hand. He wouldn't touch a dead body until she was alive again. He was still struggling with this. And so God did a miracle in Peter's heart in this very moment. And guys, I think it's so important to embrace that Peter was still working out his faith in the midst of being used by God. And maybe your faith will grow as you are being used by God. When you pray and have faith for someone else, and then all of a sudden they have faith, I'm telling you, it strengthens your faith. When there's doubts in your heart, I believe there were doubts in Peter's heart. But God moved in a powerful way. The last thing I want us to notice, and I think it's significant, in both of these stories, it says a certain person, either a certain man or a certain disciple. And I want us to personalize that, because all of us in this room are a certain man or a certain woman that has either been in a condition for a long time or something in your heart has died. And God cares about you, that certain man or woman. And I want to end our service this morning by us standing up in faith and saying, I am Aeneas, I am Tabitha, I've been going through something for a long time, or something in me is dead that needs to be raised up again. If you're here this morning and there is a condition in your heart, if you're a certain disciple of Jesus Christ and you're in that place, I'm going to ask you to stand up right now. One, two, whoever. Whatever's going on in your life, just stand up before God. See, you, and maybe the person standing next to you, but you and the Lord know what you're going through. And I'm going to ask those that are seated right now if they would stand up and put a hand upon someone who's standing up. Because I believe God wants to use all of us. And that's why I want those laying hands on others to be just like Peter, to be those followers of Christ that believe that God can still do the miraculous. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for those who stood confessing before you that there's something in their life that's been there a long time, that's holding them back, something that's weighing them down, something that they've maybe even just lost hope that it'll ever change. Maybe it's something that in their heart, it's something that they're longing for that they just never think they'll get. God, I pray that you would encourage them right now. I pray if there's a struggle or a sin in their life that they constantly seem to be coming back to, I pray right now that you would break that bond in their life, that they would find victory over that sin, over that temptation. I pray for the hearts in this room, Lord, that have been weighed down by the enemy. I pray that you would lift them up. And I pray for those in this room, Lord, that feel like something in them has died or there's been some death spiritually or even physically in their life that's just causing them to lose their focus from you. God, I pray that they would look to you because you are the one that raises the dead to life. You are the one that breathes life into each and every one of us. So I pray that you would breathe life in their circumstances, in their situations. God, that these would be men and women that would be used to go out into this world to encourage others, that they would not believe the lies of the enemy saying that they're worthless, that they can't do it. But Lord, they can be reminded this morning that they can do all things through Christ who gives them strength. That is the Holy Spirit that dwells in their hearts that enables them to speak truth, to be that sounding board for someone, to just be someone that's there to listen to someone else. And so God, I pray that you would pour out your Spirit upon all of us, that we would walk out this life bringing glory and honor to you, being used by you. We just love you so, so very much. We ask your blessings upon each and every one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.